morning, brothers and sisters. Good to see all of you this morning. Greet you in Jesus' name. Wondered how well that the rest of us would have done in answering those questions about the story if we would have been asked. Because I was asking myself that question. It's like, I don't know. It was a very good lesson about listening. So I should have a very attentive crowd this morning. And so I'm looking forward to that. You usually do pretty well. But amen. Very good for us to listen. Not just hear, but listen. Listen with our heart. Listen with our ears. Yeah. Sometimes it would be good for us, I've heard this done, where the speaker wanted to say something very important, and he had everybody put their finger in their ear. And the reason being is so that it wouldn't just go in one ear and out the other. So, listening. Amen. It's good for us to listen. Let's kneel together for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, we thank you this morning for the beautiful morning, Lord, for the nice sunshine outdoors, Lord, and for the springtime weather, Lord. We're grateful for that and thankful, Lord, for new life, but most of all for new life in Christ Jesus, and how that you have taken out the stony heart out of our hearts and given us hearts of flesh, hearts that are I trust moldable and shapeable, Lord, that you can work in and move in. And Father, this morning we pray that you would again take your truths and implant that upon the fleshly tables of our heart. Lord, those areas that we struggle in and that we're not victorious in, we pray, Lord, that it would not be a defeat to us if you speak to our hearts about it this morning, but that we would feel loved by you, that you would consider us worthy to even pay attention to us and the needs that we have. So, Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning and bring refreshment, encouragement, exhortation. Lord, you know the very things that we need, and we open our hearts to you that way and pray, Lord, that you would touch us that way. So, Lord, just help me to be able to communicate and share the things that you've laid upon my heart, Lord, and I trust that you will do that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What I'd like to talk about this morning, about the tongue / communication. We use our tongue in various ways. It's kind of a necessary element that we have in this body that we live in. It is a pretty necessary element. If you wouldn't have it, I wonder that you would be much alive this morning if you wouldn't have this little member in your body. But God saw fit to give us that. We use it, like I said, in various ways. And your minds probably are going to James chapter 3. I won't even go there this morning at all. Not that it's not worthy of our thought. It very much is. But my mind was directed to the wisest man that ever lived on the earth, Solomon, and what he says concerning the tongue. And just want to talk a bit about that this morning and share with you the things that the Lord has laid on my heart to share concerning the tongue. And I share it because I feel I have need of it. And I trust that as I share to myself here, that all of you will be blessed and edified as well. And when Solomon speaks about the tongue, he's speaking about the words that we form in our mouth and how we communicate. Does anyone know here what it takes to communicate, or what are the... There's basically three things, I think, that it takes, that people say it takes to communicate and that you use to communicate. I don't know if you're following my question or not. There's even a percentage they put on how much is of this, and how much is this, and how much is this. Does anyone know what that is? I'd like to write it up here on the board. Maybe you don't know the percentage, but you'd like to say what it takes to communicate. It takes words, okay? So we're going to write words up here. What else?
Body language.
Body language. Did you have something, Peter?
Listening.
That's listening. That's part of communicating. I'm speaking especially directly on one person trying to convey information to the other person. Obviously, he needs to listen.
Facial
expression. That goes along with the whole idea of body language. I'm trying to wrap this up into some words that I can put up here.
Tone.
Tone is the expression, isn't it? The expression. We'll just write that up here. Expression, and it can relate to how we say it. Speaking, which goes into the idea of word as well. I think we have pretty much all of them up here. The expression also includes an attitude sometimes. I'm misspelling that. Expression and attitude, and we also had here, body language. I'll just abbreviate. Body language, which includes our facial expressions, our motions. They say I motion a lot. That's all right, isn't it? You know, I'm going to keep you awake by how I motion, okay? So those are ways that we use, and I don't know what all percentage, but I know this one here is a pretty high percentage. The expression and the attitude of what we communicate is very highly distributed through this one right here, of expression and attitude, because we can say the same words and it come out totally different. You know what I'm saying? We can say the right words. People sometimes say, sorry. Now, what did that communicate? Some of you are shaking your head like, I'm not sure if he is sorry. Or we could say, I'm sorry. See, I said the same words. But the expression and the attitude behind it changed what I said. All right? What I communicated. I said the same thing, but I communicated something different. And we can do that in so many ways. Did you have a thought, Reuben? Yes, the rise and fall of the tone of our voice, which tone comes right in there as well, because if you say something in an angry heart, an angry spirit, it comes across different than if you say the same words with a good attitude. Yes. Monotone doesn't communicate very well when we don't have any expression to what we're trying to say. Doesn't come across very good, does it? You young children learning to read, it's good to read with expression. It's alive, especially the Word of God. It's alive. All right. I'm going to need some help up here. I have something more to write up here on the board, and I need somebody to volunteer to write up here on the board. Who's willing to put their handwriting on the wall? Don't all volunteer at once. I only need one. All right, somebody's going to come. Joel? All right. We have two volunteers. Good. All right. Need two lists here. And I'm just going to give you this paper.
My glasses.
You need your glasses. That goes along with old age. Older age. I'm getting there too. Oh, you had them. There they are. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'd like to make two categories here. One over here and one over here. And there's nine of them, so there'll be five in one list and four in the other one. All right? So do you think you can divide those categories up a little? Into two categories, the good over here, and the other ones over here, okay? And while he's doing that, now don't get distracted, okay? Just listen, and well, we've been talking about what makes up communication, and we know it's more than just words. It's more than just what we verbally say. It's something about our attitude and, could we say, our body language, our facial expression, our what we're communicating out with others. And while he's writing here, let's look at this whole aspect here. And we're just going to bounce from back and forth here between... First, I've looked at there's five different ones I'd want to look at in Proverbs, going through the book of Proverbs, and then there is four on the negative side that I'd like to look at as well. And the first one is a wholesome tongue, and yes, okay, yes, Paul, we need to change this here, right here. And put it over here, all right? You need an eraser for that. It's T-O-N-G-G-U-E. There we go. It's bothering some school teachers in here. And we'll just help you out over here. Is that any better? Whoops, that's worse. All right. So we're going to look at the wholesome tongue first in Proverbs 15, verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirits. I don't know what you think of when you think of wholesome. My mind goes to food because we have all these health things, you know, about, and it's not all bad. Not downing all of that. I think it's good for us to eat healthy foods that are wholesome. But as we think about wholesome, a wholesome tongue, could we not also use the same thing as we think about a wholesome tongue? That it ministers. It's something that's good for us. It's something that edifies the hearer. It's something that builds them up. It's something that's encouraging. It brings health. And we'll see that. Here in the, next one here. But wholesome, it has the idea of actually, if you look it up, wholesome has the idea of healthy, healing. Isn't that amazing? It says a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Have you ever heard that term before? Tree of life. Where did you hear it first? I'm talking in the Bible. In Genesis, we read about the tree of life. Well, that sounds exciting, doesn't it? Is there any other place in the Bible it talks about the tree of life? Revelation talks about the tree of life. And Adam and Eve could not stay in the Garden of Eden because they had sinned. And God said, lest they eat of the tree of life and live forever in that state of sinfulness, we're going to have to remove them from the garden. The tree of life. Now, just picture that tree of life. In Revelation, it says it bears 12 manners of fruit, yields its fruit every month, is it? And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Well, isn't that a blessing? That's a tree of life. Could our words become that? That we would speak wholesome words in such a way. Now, who do we speak to mostly? Who do we mostly speak to? Our families. Could our words be such that they would be wholesome for our families? Wholesome words, healthy words, healing words, a tree of life. You know, it's not difficult to recognize a wholesome tongue. It's not difficult at all to recognize that. It's not some fuzzy thing out here where we can't hardly get a hold of it. When somebody speaks wholesome words, you're edified, you're blessed, you're refreshed. Maybe it ministers healing in an area that you're struggling in. Proverbs 12, verse 18 says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is healthy. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. The tongue of the wise is health. Could we have that kind of tongue that would minister health? We like to take all kinds of vitamins and pills and everything to keep us healthy, but how about words that can be taken and you receive health from them? Amen. That's what we want. You know, wisdom expresses itself through words that minister health. The wise, the tongue of the wise is health. It has ingredients in it that brings health. Could we have be wise with our tongue that what we say would minister health to others, and especially our families? Proverbs 16, verse 24 says, Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. There again, he puts those two together. We're talking about wholesome tongue. May our words be just that. That they would be sweet to the soul and health to the bones of those who are not only hearing, but listening. Amen? May we have a wholesome tongue. Let's consider a flattering tongue. Let's consider that. Looks like we have that twice up here. We'll keep this over here and put a different one in here. So the flattering tongue belongs over on this side. All right. A flattering tongue. Proverbs 26, verse 28 says, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Now we'll talk a little bit later about a lying tongue, but it's also mentioned here in this verse. And I'll just point it out that it's interesting how he says here, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. Well, why? If a person has a problem with lying, it would indicate here that he has a real problem with others who do the same thing, but he himself has the same problem. You know, it's kind of that way. You know, a proud person struggles with somebody that tends to be proud or boastful. They just can't stand them. You know how that feels? How do I know? Well, I've probably been there, knowing those kind of things. You know, it kind of irks you. Well, that's a little how it is with a lying tongue. But it says, a flattering mouth worketh ruin. And we want to talk about flattery just a little bit here. In Proverbs 28, verse 23, he also says this, he that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. He says it works ruin to flatter with the tongue, with the mouth. It works ruin. Destruction is what that word actually means. And what does flattery look like? Sometimes it's a little hard for me to grasp what flattery really is. But I found this illustration of it in Luke, in the book of Luke. But before I get there, I'm going to read another little phrase that I found that spoke about flattery. It means to compliment excessively or often insincerely, especially to gain favor. All right, now think about that in light of Luke chapter 20, verse 19 through 26. The chief priests and the scribes, the same hour, sought to lay hands on him, Jesus, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. And they watched him and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men. That's one aspect of flattery, that these men were sent specifically to spy out on Jesus and to try to catch him in his words, and they feigned themselves to be just men. All right? Flattery. That they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. And they ask him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly. Do you hear the flattery? They're feigning themselves to be just men. And so here they come, and they said, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly. Really? Flattery. Neither acceptest thou the person of any. Really? More flattery. But teachest the way of God truly. Did they really believe that? Absolutely not. They were totally flattering him, or trying to. And then they brought the question, is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? But he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, why tempt ye me? Show me a penny. Whose image and superscription hath it? They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. And they could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at his answer and held their peace. It's an example of flattery, trying to gain somebody's favor. And I don't really know that we're having such a big problem with this among us, but I think it's good to take note of this kind of communication. It brings ruin, all right? It's not the way we want to go. Excessive compliments insincerely, not really meaning it. I think it's a right thing for us. Even there's times that I've found that I need to stretch myself beyond and just reach out to somebody that I would rather not reach out to, all right? And I think it's all right for us to stretch ourselves beyond what we're feeling, quote, and minister in that way. I think Jesus did that a lot. Stretched out beyond. He ministered. And just because I'm not exactly feeling exactly very lovey-dovey towards that person doesn't mean I have to respond in a crabby way either, the way I'm feeling. You know what I'm saying? But I don't think that's flattery to respond in that way. But there is definitely something about flattery that we don't want to be involved in. Okay, I think This is what we wanted to put up here for the next one. Did you know that's mentioned in the Bible? A soft tongue. Now everybody, chew on your tongue just a little. Is it hard or is it soft? How is it? Soft. So we all have a soft tongue, praise the Lord. Isn't that a blessing? We all have a soft tongue. Proverbs 25, verse 15 says, "By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone." A soft tongue breaketh the bone. How often do we tend to become forceful with someone that is obstinate? Obstinate meaning he's strong. He sticks to his point. He won't give in. He's relentless. And how often do we come across with the same, encountering? A soft tongue is a gentle tongue. A soft tongue is a pleading tongue. A soft tongue is a kind tongue. These are all words you find as you look into what a soft tongue is. A soft tongue is a tender tongue. I hope you didn't bite so hard that you hurt yourself, but it's tender. Child is eating and all of a sudden they start crying. Why are you crying? Oh, I bit my tongue. It's good for us to bite our tongue at times and not say what we were going to say. A soft tongue is a tender tongue. A soft tongue is a tongue that speaks soft words. The Bible says here in Proverbs that it breaketh the bone. A bone is something that keeps us upright. A bone is something of strength. It takes a lot to break a bone. It takes a lot of force to break a bone. But a soft tongue breaks the bone. Let's remember that. When we come up against hard situations, difficult people, obstinate people, bear this one in mind. A soft tongue breaketh the bone. I had an experience one time working at a cold storage, and I probably shared this before, but most of you haven't heard it. But anyway, I was loading a truck with food products, and we had these little rider jacks, and we would wheel the pallet up in there, onto the truck. And typically, we would have two on one side, because it wasn't tight, so we put two on one side, then the next two we would put on the other side against the wall, so he wouldn't have to pick up a lot of material when he gets to his destination, because if you just plopped it in the center, it many times would rack and shift. So if you would alternate, it was great. So that's what I started doing, and he had a fairly new trailer, and I wasn't being reckless or anything, but the driver got all huffed up and I would have been out of shape that I was coming up against the side of his trailer while I was loading. And I remembered about a soft answer. The Bible talks about a soft answer. And I remembered to answer him softly. And, what do you want me to do? This is typically how we would load it. How do you want me to load it? And I'll do, whatever you want me to do. It's no big deal. I'll try to be careful. And he was ranting and raving before, and all of a sudden he just calmed right down. See, a soft tongue breaketh the bone. I believe this is how Jesus spoke. He spoke with authority, but I believe he had a soft tongue. Even when he spoke with authority. Do you know what it did? It drew the people. It drew the people when he spoke that way. You know, it's not natural for most of us to have a soft tongue. I think you'd find a few here and there that they don't really have that much problem with this. But I think for the most of us, we would have to say our experience has been, we've had to work on that one, a soft tongue. Especially when you're late, you're running late, someone's making you late, you're trying to get there on time. You know, that's just one example of when it's so easy to say a sharp word. A soft tongue. You know, it takes Christ in you to change that. It takes Christ in us. Soft tongue. Let's look at a froward tongue. A froward tongue. Froward. That's not to be confused with forward. This is froward. Okay? Make sure you don't get that confused. It's not forward. It's froward. All right? A froward tongue is a person difficult to deal with. Contrary. In German, we'd say überzweig. Contrary. Here's some of the synonyms, and this might help you. Before I read the verses about a froward tongue, this might help us as we think about the synonyms of this word, because we don't use that word very often. But here's the synonyms: stubborn, headstrong, willful, unyielding, inflexible, unbending, disobedient. Someone that is being froward is being willfully contrary to someone or something and is not easily managed. Think about that. Have you found yourself in any of those words at times? I have. Proverbs 10, verse 31 and 32. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Notice the kind of character traits that he links the two different ones together with. He says, the just, they bring forth wisdom. The righteous know what is acceptable. The wicked speaketh frowardness. The wicked speaketh stubbornly, headstrong, willful, unyielding, inflexible, unbending. Wow. Proverbs 3, verse 32 says, For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. Proverbs 4, verse 23 and 24. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. I don't believe it means that we just be mushy and everything goes, and I don't think that's what he's talking about. But it's a characteristic in our heart. You know, stubbornness and headstrong and all that willfulness and all that is a characteristic in our heart. And then it's produced out as fruit. And the fruit is frowardness. And he says that we should put it away from our mouth. We don't need to become a pushover. But if frowardness is an abomination to the Lord, we want to stay away from it, don't we? If frowardness, the spirit of that thing, we want to stay away from that froward tongue. Now let's jump back over and look at a wise tongue. a wise tongue. Proverbs 15, verse 2, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. First, let's just consider the opposite of a wise tongue is obviously to, I think the Bible even talks about uttering all your mind, that's not a good thing. You know, he talks about here in the latter part of the verse, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. That pouring out has the idea of gushing out, or I won't do this, but some of you from our backgrounds, after you're done with a meal, and it was a good meal, and we have this big belch. Do you know that's actually the word? That's actually the word that is used here. When he talks about he poureth out foolishness, it just comes out. But the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. You know, wisdom and the fear of God, they go hand in hand, don't they? Proverbs talks about when we have the fear of God, we have wisdom. When we have wisdom, we have the fear of God. They go hand in hand. How do the wise respond? Let's think about Proverbs 16, verse 23. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. I like that picture. I like the picture of the heart of the wise teaching his mouth. The picture of teaching. You know, I get this picture of someone that's, you know, maybe they're down on their knees and they're trying to teach their children how to walk. That's the picture I get. Well, that's what we should do with our words. Teaching our mouth. All right, that wasn't what you should say. There's a different way to say that. You know, our expression, our attitudes, all of those things. Body language, our facial expressions, all of those things coming together. We need to teach our mouth and add learning to our lips. Proverbs 15, 28, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. We're talking about a wise tongue. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. There's that word again, poureth out evil things. You know, having a ready answer is most times not wisdom. Being quick-witted, you know, your responses are quick. At least that's what I find gets me in trouble more often than anything is the quick response. It's better to, like it says here, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. Proverbs 18, verse 13, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Someone's speaking, someone's sharing their struggle, maybe, or whatever it is that they're sharing, and just you and him, you and her, and you just cut them off right in the middle of, oh, yeah, I know that, you know. That's folly. That's shameful, actually. Hear him out. Listen. Listen to what he has to say. Let's move on. Backbiting tongue. Do you know there's such a thing as a backbiting tongue? I thought we bite with our teeth. Well, we do. But you know, our tongue has a way of biting too. And sometimes our tongue bites harder than our teeth would ever bite. A backbiting tongue is to be a talebearer. That is slander. Defaming somebody behind their back. Statements injurious to the reputation of someone else. Cutting them down behind their back. That's backbiting. How does God feel about all that? I'm going to borrow one from Psalm 15, verse 1 through 3. It says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Proverbs 18, verse 8 says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. You know, it's painful to us when we hear that somebody else was speaking around the back about me in a very negative way, defaming and cutting down my character and who I am. And they didn't come to me. They just went around the back, spread all this pollution all over the place. And it hurts, doesn't it? Then guess what we do? We haven't learned the lesson. And we turn right around and do the same thing. Can't we learn? Won't we learn that the things that hurt us will hurt somebody else as well? You have a problem with somebody? Why don't you go talk with him? Why don't you go share with him how that came across? How don't you, and do it in a way that's a wholesome tongue, that is healthy, and that builds, instead of just around the back. And sometimes we can even do those kind of things through a prayer request. I'm all for prayer requests, but sometimes we can stab around the back, even just in prayer requests. We have something going on in our hearts. Proverbs 26, verse 20 says, and the word talebearer is in here, says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. We know that. If I stop fueling the fire, it goes out. Well, maybe we need to stop fueling the fire about that other person. Bring a stop to it. Quit putting wood on it. You know, even my own thoughts, just in the quietness of my own heart, my own thoughts, meditations, can either be fueling the flames or we can extinguish them. That's where it starts, brothers and sisters. The Bible talks about what the things are in Philippians 4, verse 8. It talks about the things are that we should be thinking about. But how many times, because I felt injured, because I felt hurt by somebody, because somebody said something about me that wasn't even true, and in the quietness and meditations of my heart, I fuel the fire and make a case out of it. When Jesus would just say, if thy brother offend thee, how many times should you forgive him? 70 times 7. 70 times 7. We should forgive him. There's a place to talk about things, true. There's a place to dialogue and talk about things between brothers. But so many times I think we could do ourselves a big favor if we could just let it go. Give him the benefit of the doubt. He probably didn't mean it the way it sounded. I probably took him wrong. But instead we get this backbiting going on in our hearts. Lord, deliver us from that. So either we fuel the flames or we extinguish them in our minds, in our hearts. let's for sure not pass them on to ignite other flames in other people's hearts concerning what happens. Let's learn to be good firemen, all right? Let's learn to be good firemen. Where no wood is, the fire goes out. The firemen even know that. They know what fuels a fire. Take the oxygen away. That'll extinguish it. Take the product away that's burning, the fuel. Quit adding fuel to the fire. Turn the gas valve off. Let's be good firemen and put out the fire. Proverbs 18, verse 6, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. Doesn't mention here about backbiting, but I think it fits this verse. The fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. Let's guard our tongue in this way. And the next one up here that we don't want to talk about here is in the middle. It's called powerful tongue. A powerful tongue. What do I mean by that? I wasn't quite sure how to reword it in the way that I wanted it to. But let me read the verse. I think you'll connect with it. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Our tongue is a tremendously powerful tool. The words we speak, the encouragement that we could give, the blessing that we could be, even the admonition given or a rebuke can minister life if it's handled in the way the Scripture would teach. It can even minister life even though it's a rebuke. Because the person senses, right here, your attitude, your expression. They know that you love them. You're not smiting them in a way just to put them down. But the rebuke is given because you love them. You care about their soul. This would help you. This would chart you in a good course. The tongue is powerful. Did you know that our tongue has the power to give life? Isaiah 40, verse 4 says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Isn't that something? Could we have that testimony about our words? That the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, a wise tongue, a wholesome tongue to speak encouragement and blessing and even admonition when it's needed. To speak a word in season to him that is weary. And the reason it's in the middle here is because this same tongue has the same potential that it does to give life. It has the same potential to minister death to others. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The tongue is unfortunately capable of death just as well. Some of you know what it feels like to be told by your parents, you're no good. You'll never amount to anything. I wish you'd have never been born. I hope none of you. I think there are some of you that know about that. Maybe not in those exact words, but that's the feel. You know, those kind of statements and attitudes, what do? They destroy, don't they? They kill. They kill. I just had this illustration here. Concerning this, a lot of our communication is at home, isn't it? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The Tongue is powerful. You say a word. You say something in a negative way, like I just said, that sometimes children have heard from their parents. And what does it do? Doesn't it? Those wounds go deep. They destroy, they kill. May that not be said of our children about us. That's the spirit and attitude that we carried. But rather, that we would minister life. But this kind of thing goes on in homes. Brothers and sisters, if this kind of thing goes on in our life, let's repent before God. Let's allow God to bring healing to that wound. The tongue is powerful. And many times it's the people that we're the closest to in our own homes that we do those kind of things. Let's consider a lying tongue. A lying tongue. Turn over to Proverbs 6. I'd like to turn to this one. There's more reading here in Proverbs 6. In verse 16, he says this: "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. These six things, yea, seven, are an abomination unto the Lord." A lying tongue. Proverbs 12, verse 19, The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. You know that truth always stands, never needs to be propped up. Truth will always stand. He says here, a lying tongue is but for a moment. Lying is for a moment. And then what happens? Children, what happens? Lie, you say a lie, you tell a lie. And then what happens? You know, children, what happens? Then the truth comes out, and the truth is discovered, right? Lying is but for a moment. It's better to tell the truth right away, even if it means you're going to get a spanking. It's better to tell the truth anyway. A lying tongue is an abomination. You know, lying has to be defended. You say one lie, and mom looks at you and says, "Are you sure?" Then you have to say another lie to cover your first one, because it's not quite stacking up to mom. And then you have to say another one and another one. That's how lying goes. But you say the truth, you can always say the same thing over and over and over. And you know it's the truth. Proverbs 21, verse 6, "The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death." Dishonesty in our businesses. Dishonesty in business. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue. Proverbs 20, verse 17 says, Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel." Now, I haul that sometimes, and it wouldn't be just the most pleasant thing to to have a whole mouthful of gravel. Right? That's pretty descriptive there. We don't last very long, would we, if we were sitting here with a mouthful of gravel? What is he trying to say here? The bread of deceit is sweet to a man. You know, maybe all at first it seems everything's fine. It's all covered up. And you go home. Do you know how it feels when you're honest before God? You go home and you begin to think about it. And suddenly there's a turning going on. That's kind of like gravel in your mouth. You just kind of would rather spit it out. And yet, there it is. What am I going to do with it? I've sold a few vehicles already in the past. And I've discovered it's much better to first, when the potential buyer comes, just to tell them everything that's wrong. That you know what's wrong with it. This, this, and this may have to be checked out. These are the things. Now, after that, you can maybe talk about the good service it's been to you and so forth and so on. But we like to shadow those things sometimes. And that's one of the struggles I'd have with being a salesman. Especially at a car lot or some other place, you know, selling used stuff. I mean, yes, true, it's as is, but can we just be honest? Can we be truthful about what we know and not do things shadily under the carpet? You know, I like to buy equipment that where the owner just tells me honestly what he knows about it. That's the way I like to buy, don't you? Let's be that way. Let's share that way. Proverbs 26, verse 7 says, "The legs of the lame are not equal. So is a parable in the mouth of fools." So let's make sure that our legs are equal, all right? That they come down equally, all right? That's quite a picture, isn't it? One leg shorter than the other one. This story is not quite matching up with this story. You know, the van, they got in the van and they drove over to the market and they walked home. Well, that story, David's not in here right now, that story wasn't quite stacking in my mind. Well, how was that? Now, maybe they had flat tires. I told no, but let's make sure that our legs come down equal, all right? What a blessing when we can just be honest, not hide anything. Do you know what? People talk about freedom. That's true freedom. That's true freedom. Move away from a lying tongue. Let's talk about the tongue of the righteous. Righteous, a righteous tongue. Proverbs 10, verse 20, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. Proverbs 8, verse 8. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. Wow. May that be said of each one of us. Right? That all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. Proverbs 10, verse 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. But violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. You know, I've met these kind of men already, where the mouth of the righteous was a well of life. Those kind of people, they truly are a well of life. They're so refreshing. They're a blessing to be around. Let's be that kind of person. But, you know, it talks about that the righteous man is a well of life. If you hide sin in your heart, that can't come out. But when our heart is clear and right with God and we have a pure heart, it's a well of life that comes out. Let's let it be that way in our lives. And we can be a refreshment and a blessing to be around. Proverbs 15, verse 28, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. We read that earlier, and I'd just like to bring it up again and talk a little bit more about the heart of the righteous, studying to answer. That's the key word here, studieth. What's he studying? Well, he might be studying a few different things. He's teaching his mouth, remember? He's teaching his mouth what should be said. And you have this explosive situation. And it's a good time for us to study before we answer. How will this be heard? How can I say what I want to say in a way that I can be understood? Is my attitude right? What would Jesus say in the same situation? What would he say? And those are all just things that are good for us to consider. The righteous man, the righteous studieth to answer, it says. Proverbs 16, verse 1. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Again, speaking about studying before we talk, before we say something. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Proverbs 29, verse 20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Now, just some concluding verses here. In Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. Isn't that a blessing? That's a refreshment. Every word of God is pure. Now, we've talked about different things here, but you'll never find over on this side of the board here, the flattering tongue, the froward tongue, the backbiting tongue, the lying tongue, you'll never find that with God. His words are always pure. Pure words. Proverbs 21, verse 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. Just simple. Not too complicated. Even the 10-year-old can understand that. Whoso keepeth his mouth, you know, and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. Proverbs 13, verse 3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. There was this quote that I found in a local business place. And it always struck me when I walked in there. And I would read this quote again. And it says, the quote was this: better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and erase all doubt. You know, sometimes it's just better to be quiet and to keep our mouth. To keep our mouth, we keep our life. To keep our mouth, we keep our soul from troubles. You know, I believe if we allow it, God wants to sanctify us in this whole aspect of our tongue. He wants to sanctify us. And I think many of us have already been sanctified. I sit at our brothers' meetings and I see that going around the circle. And then I also see that God continues to sanctify. And guess who he's sanctifying? He's sanctifying me. He's sanctifying my own tongue. You know, as we relate to one another, we don't always see it the same. But isn't it a blessing when we can be sanctified, have sanctified hearts? And that the words of our mouth, even though we might not see it always the same as the other brother, it can be in such a way that there can be an understanding, and we try to relate and walk in the other person's shoes and try to understand, and then we draw a conclusion together. Isn't that a blessing? We can do that together. But God wants to sanctify our tongue. In our homes, He wants to sanctify our tongue. As we relate to our wife, as we relate to our husband, as we relate to our children, that our words, our tongue, would truly be like His. Every word of God is pure. That our tongue would be that way. Jesus said this when He was here. He talked about what He sees His Father do. That's what He does. What He hears His Father say, that's what He says. Could we be like that? That we would do what our Heavenly Father says. That we could say the things that He would want us to say. May we strive for that. To be the same in that. I know the Lord wants to do sanctifying work yet in my life. In those things. He's been doing that, but He wants to do some more. May the Lord add His blessings and encourage our hearts. If the Lord spoke to your heart, take it as love. He loves you. That's why He wants to speak to you in that way. God bless each of you.